Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, many of us are familiar with the concept of slimming clubs, and the future of the one that started it all, Weight Watchers, currently hangs in the balance. It is prepared to file for bankruptcy, and the company started a craze in calorie counting and judgment-free group weigh-ins. Weight loss groups have been long been a staple diet of culture, but the rise of new slimming drugs now means that the question is raised about whether restrictive dieting is a thing of the past. Well, I'm joined on the line by Aoife Hearn, who's a registered dietitian and lecturer at SETU in Waterford. Aoife, you're welcome to the programme. Good to talk to you. I mean, it's a good moment, isn't it, when we have the potential demise of Weight Watchers, to discuss really whether these dieting, calorie counting groups, whether they worked. Were you a fan?
Good morning, Claire. I suppose I wasn't a fan, if I'm honest. And I think that because they were so focused on calories and so focused on restriction, and we actually know that when people engage in this type of dieting, that it actually increases your risk of gaining weight and potentially obesity. So I think, you know, a lot of people found them quite useful and supportive, and there was an educational piece to them that I think had value. But I at least would love to see, and I know many people working in the area would love to see something where we're really trying to empower people to make better choices in their lifestyle, food and movement, and focusing more on health outcomes, I guess, rather than just the number on the scale. Mm-hmm.
The other side of those groups, though, was the social outlet that it gave people, you know, and the help and support and education, as you say, when people would meet up and hear from their group leader about what was the right thing to be doing for your health and nutrition.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I would say that while their intention may have been to be judgment-free, you know, I think we do have to understand that many people living with obesity or living in bigger bodies have a lot of internalized shame around that. And so, you know, when you're in a situation that maybe you go, you get weighed in, you're up a pound and you're not sure why that is, that can be really, really difficult for people to deal with. And they're then in a situation, I guess, where there's no one with professional qualifications to support them through why that may have happened, you know. So, you know, I suppose there's two sides to the coin, isn't there? You know, but, you know, I suppose we are looking now what's going to happen without them, isn't it?
Well, it is. And we have, you know, the introduction of the drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy, and the whole landscape really of weight loss has been transformed, which you agree, because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, but I think, you know, what we really have to be clear about is that our GLP medications, so Wegovy, Mounjaro, Ozempic, these are medications for people who have a chronic disease, you know, and I know there's been lots of commentary about, you know, losing a few pounds to go on your holidays, but like that's not what these medications are for, you know. And so these medications are part of how we care for people who have obesity. There will be people who don't have obesity and may want to make some changes, you know. So I think it is important that we kind of differentiate between the two, you know.
So what happens for those people then who are caught there in the middle, you know, who won't be able to or shouldn't be using the weight loss drugs, but would like to drop a few pounds or half a stone or whatever it might be?
Yeah, and I think what we're really looking at now is that there probably is a gap to how do we support people around nutrition education, you know, and there isn't anything consistent across the country that people can access. And I do think that's an issue. You know, if people can afford it, of course they can get support from a private dietitian or a physiotherapist or a fitness expert. So, but when you're not in that position, you know, you're probably left open to looking at Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all these things where we see lots of unqualified people giving information that has no evidence behind it. So that's, I suppose, the concern, you know.
Well, maybe, Aoife, would you say the slimming club model now has moved online and the people might be involved in some sort of an online support group or program and getting their guidance from there?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's pluses and minuses with that, isn't there? You know, I suppose I'd always encourage people to make sure that the nutrition advice you're getting is from a registered dietitian or a registered nutritionist, someone who has a full-time 4-year undergraduate degree under their belt. You know, say, just like you would, you wouldn't get medical advice from someone who's not a doctor. I hope you wouldn't, at least. But, you know, so it is, we just, I suppose there's a lot of education that we really need to do now to support the public to make better choices. And I think when it comes to eating, you know, there's so much focus, and still probably people, the go-to is if they want to fit into their, go on their holidays or Christmas party, they look at restriction. And what we really want people to start thinking is, well, you know, what can I actually bring into my eating? How can I plan my eating better? What are the, some of the choices that we actually can take charge of, rather than just focusing on this one thing, meaning weight, that we actually don't have as much control over as we would like to believe?
Well, that the body positivity movement, there has been some talk that that message has been lost now because of these weight loss drugs. You know, that notion that you can be healthy at any size.
And I think, and that is important. I think we can all be healthy at many sizes, and it's not really the size that matters. It's what we do is important. So are we eating enough vegetables and fruit in the day? Are we getting enough fiber? Are we moving regularly? Are we drinking in moderation? Do we quit smoking or don't smoke to begin with? Like, these are the pillars that we know are important for long-term health and longevity. And so, again, it's trying to focus on more of this inclusion approach, I suppose, rather than, oh, I just can't have a takeaway, or I'm going to give up drinking for a month, or whatever it might be, you know?
Aoife, thank you so much. Aoife Hearn there, registered dietitian and lecturer at SETU in Waterford.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.